Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I know I say the word so too much, but I'm just very happy. Today we're reading from the book Beside Bethesda. It's Johnny Erickson Tada's devotional, and the title is Ride Death Close. And these are her words. I was raised on a farm with three older sisters who loved horseback riding. Every weekend they would saddle up and race down the trail. I may have only been 4 or 5 years old, but I admired the fearlessness of my older siblings, and I didn't want to be left in the dust. With those thoughts in mind, my first horse was no benign little pony. It was a 16-hand-high Appaloosa mare named Thunder. The first time I sat atop Thunder, she bolted and I slid off the saddle. I remember protesting loudly when Daddy tried to set me on her again. When Thunder saw the fear in my eyes, she tossed her head and shied away. The horse obviously had the upper hand. You must get back up on her, Johnny, my dad said. If you don't, Thunder will know you are afraid of her and she will never obey you. After thinking for a moment or two about my sisters and their courage, I yielded to my father. He placed me atop my horse and stepped back. Mimicking my sisters, I slapped the reins and gave a hearty kick with my tongue. I slapped the reins and gave a hearty click with my tongue. I wanted my unruly horse to know I was in charge, and I was. The big mare obeyed my signal and trotted forward. From then on, we were friends, and I will never forget my dad's words of affirmation. That a girl, Johnny. Now you're riding her close. Facing death as a believer is much the same. If we cower before its shadow, the next time it approaches, it will seem even more terrifying. And although death is a fearful subject, when we face up to it, we break its power over us, like breaking a horse. Yes, death is still much larger and stronger than us, but fears of death need not control us. When we engage, examine, and talk about it, when we ride death close, we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalms 23:4. The Apostle Paul, who faced death again and again before his eventual execution in a Roman dungeon, described a believer's passing as being swallowed up by life. In other words, when the moment finally arrived, it wasn't death that took him at all. It was life with a capital L. And our verse is Philippians 1:22-25. As long as I'm alive in this body, there is a good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I would choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful. Some days I can think of nothing better. But most days, because of what you are going through, I am sure that it is better for me to stick it out here. So I plan to be around a while. Companion to you is your growth and joy in this life of trusting God continues. And as you know, those are Paul's words to the Philippians. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time where we can just think about you and think about our young people and things that they may have gone through, and we just trust you, Lord. We just have to trust you. Take and replace our fear with faith. We pray for the family that is suffering the news that their child has cancer. We pray for the family that has a loved one in the hospital with COVID. And we pray, Lord, for this show that our words will be your words. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So this particular craft maybe is more like a science project, but it's talking about how leaves breathe. And it really brings home to a child that that tree is a living organism. The first thing you need is a big glass bowl. And then you need to pick a leaf from a tree that is, you know, maybe newly leafed out. And that's why we're doing that this today. And then you submerge that leaf and weight it down with a rock. And then go about your other activities. Do all your other work. Go back inside, do work, do your other activities, and maybe come back in a couple of hours. And you should be able to see with your naked eye bubbles forming around that leaf. You can use a magnifying glass to even see them better. But the idea is that the leaf is still photosynthesizing through the sun because the sun's hitting it even through the water and it's releasing. Doesn't necessarily have lungs like we do, but there's a lot of things you can learn about leaves and how they breathe if you go to my Pinterest site, mrgamblin2, and I have there March to Spring. I have this leaf experiment and all of the supporting material. I just really enjoy how the internet can help us do a lot of teaching and get a lot of information quickly. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We've been talking for a number of shows about some of the trappings that our children would be exposed to if they went to public school or a traditional school, but you can easily provide them for your own children, but you need to do it with intention. When you set up your calendar each year, you need to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have our education fair on by this time. We're going to do a music festival by this time. And today I want to talk about a trip that I'm going to take with my high school students. I run a homeschool high school program. And you can go to my school's website and learn more about it. It's mygax.org. It stands for My Gettysburg Adventist Christian School.org. And when you go to that website, I have a tab there specifically for homeschooling families. And there's a lot of options in which they can benefit from our little school. And it's interesting to note that almost every single student there has been homeschooled initially. So today we're talking about senior survival trip. And this trip I'm doing just with the high school students. They have to have their own stuff. I don't bring it for them, but they have to collect their own stuff. I will have a trailer for them to put it in. And we will go to a old Girl Scout camp that I'll reserve ahead of time, and they have to survive for 2 nights and 3 days. It's going to be great fun. They're looking so forward to it. And I've kind of leveraged the trip in the sense that I said, if you have all your work done, we'll leave at the beginning of the school day on Monday. If you don't have your work done yet or there's some outstanding assignments, we'll go through the school day, make sure everybody's work is done. But even if your work isn't done, we're going to leave at the end of the school day. We will just, when we come back on Wednesday, we'll come back early so we can have school and finish up your assignments. But if you have your work done, then we'll come back to arrive at the end of the school day. So they're working hard. It's one of those things where a teacher needs to motivate, and that's probably why I have 6 high school students in the program that are attending school every day, because the parents at that point have felt that others might be better at motivating their high school students than they were. No reflection on them. I love each one of my parents very much too. So think about some of the things that you can do that would really be beneficial to your high school students. Remember, there are emerging adult population and they need to have some incentive too, some fun things to look forward to. That concludes my curriculum corner. Stay tuned for Questions Parents Ask. Questions Parents Ask. Well, this homeschooling parent is asking about planning a community day camp. And there's a lot to going into a community day camp. If you're doing it for 1 week, you can kind of run it almost like a VBS. If you're doing it all day, more considerations need to be taken into place. I did the same thing when I was a younger parent with kids at home. The summer seemed to be such a waste of time, and so I decided to have a little community day camp. And it was faith-based, it was a ministry, and I used every bit of my lawn in my home, and I did all kinds of things. I had the crafts, I had the stories, I had the song time, and as the neighbors, I talked to the neighbors, and they didn't matter what denomination they were. My one neighbor was Catholic. The other neighbor was Jehovah's Witness. She limited some of what she did for us, but she still helped. Another neighbor was a Baptist. We all gathered together, and we made the best community day camp. I think that's a fantastic way to reach your community, make friends, get your kids involved. They can run the craft center. You can have a video center. And one of the things they're asking is like books. Their theme that they want to do is creation. There's so many cool videos on creation. Is creation real? Is Genesis creation? You know, all of these things, you can actually use that as part of one of the stations that they go through. And I'll be praying that you just have a wonderful, wonderful success with your community day camp. Well, we are going to go to break. Today, we're going to be talking with Lemuel. Lemuel, I met a few years ago, and he has a terrific story to tell. He also started this organization called Christmas Behind Bars. I hope that doesn't bother you. In fact, we need to start thinking of how we can give back to our community, and Christmas is one of those ways, and the organization he runs certainly needs forward thinking in order to have everything ready for Christmas Behind Bars. But his interview is much more than that. It is his testimony of how God found him. You'll want to hear that. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word, MRGMediaMinistries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Lemuel Vega, and we're going to talk about his passion, Christmas Behind Bars. Christmas Behind Bars started over 20 years ago in a classroom at a local church. It has grown every year and is now reaching more than 50,000 prisoners across the country. Praise God. Care packages to each of these prisoners include Bibles, devotional books, hygiene items, and miscellaneous snack items. These care packages are a blessing to those behind bars, letting them know that they are not forgotten. God loves them, and there is hope in Him, spelled with a capital H, correct?
Hope in Him. Amen.
Welcome to our show. Today, I'd like to just catch up. We've interviewed you before, but it's been a few years, and your ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. Tell us a little bit of the backstory of why you got into this ministry in the first place.
The backstory of this ministry is I was in trouble at a young age. I was a troubled teen. I was kicked out of quite a few different grades of schooling, and I went to prison at 18 years old. Prison doesn't have the ability, and it does not change someone's life internally. They can restrain and incarcerate somebody for years of their life and mandate that be so because of the consequence of the crime committed. But greater than that, we want to let these people know that there's hope for their life. When I was in prison, I tried to get my GED. I couldn't. I failed. I got out of prison. My life was misdirected. I was taking drugs back to the officers at the prison, and they were taking it into the prisoners, and the prisoners were selling the drugs, and I was getting the money from that. So being released from prison, I was still in bondage. I could tell our listeners about convertibles and ski boats and motorcycles and all kinds of tangible things that it seems like it would make people happy, but I was so empty. I was broken, shattered, sick, and ready to die. And emotionally, I was suicidal. I was going back to prison, or I was going to overdose. And I went to a place that we all know as treatment facilities for those people that are drug addicted or have alcoholic problems or other kind of problems. And the doctors can't help us either. So prisons don't help us, can't help us. The doctors with their college education and their methadone and antabuse and all those kind of things can't help or fix somebody or release somebody from incarceration internally. And so there I was hopeless and broken.
And God took that, you know, for our listeners that may be experiencing the same thing. What was that first ray of hope?
The first ray of hope is there was someone that come and knocked on my door. I was in the hospital room. I was there for 2 days out of a 30-day program. And there was a pastor that come in, and he told me something that he had never told anybody before in his life. He was a good man. He never went to prison. He just never got in trouble. He wasn't seemingly born on the right side of the tracks. He told me that when his mother died, he got addicted to cough syrup. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, you don't understand what crack and heroin and alcoholism and all these things are. You just had a little cough syrup problem. But he said that he prayed and God helped him with that addiction. And so somehow he left. I was respectful, listened to his prayer, and he left. And it was a few hours later, that first ray of hope that you ask about, ironically, was a ray of hope, because I looked out my picture window in the hospital room and I saw the most beautiful sunset I'd ever seen in my whole life. And the thought came to me from a third grade educational understanding of life. I heard that there were no two snowflakes ever created the same. I never was in a school with a microscope. I never saw two snowflakes under a microscope, but I heard that there were no two snowflakes ever created the same. And so I believe that God's dynamic design of that beautiful sunset I saw was a one deal. And it was so beautiful. And I said, man, if God can paint that, somehow he can help me. And I kneeled down in my room and I prayed. And I said, dear Jesus, please help me. I want to quit, but I can't. I'd thrown my narcotics in the parking lot back into the trees when I walked into treatment 2 nights before that. And here I was on my knees. And I said, dear Jesus, please help me. I want to, but I can't. The ray of hope came when that pastor knocked upon the door and come in that room, and he told me he had a problem and God helped him with that problem. And I just want to tell our listeners today that whatever your problem is, if you'll just but pray, what you are doing is you're asking God to help you with the unmanageability of our life's problems as we know them, and it's called sin. It's not labeled addiction.
Amen. And I think that out of that, I can see that each one of these packages that you facilitate in getting to someone incarcerated could be that very ray of hope that they need. And that's why you're so passionate about this ministry.
The whole ideal with Christmas Behind Bars is just to try to encourage those men and women behind bars to try one more time. Because as they're willing to try one more time, it might be to get their GED, it might be to mend family relationships, it might be to write that letter that I'm sorry, whatever it is, just try one more time. And as they begin to try and they realize they need help with that situation, they'll ask God for help in their life. So it's Muslim people, it's atheist people, it's gang members, it's murderers, robbers, it's whatever. All these people in prison, they've done wrong, they're incarcerated for their wrongs, but again, prison doesn't change us. And I share the analogy with inmates. If you take a dog, and let's say you got a coon hunting dog, and he hunts coons, and you don't want that dog to hunt coons no more, and you chain him to the telephone pole. You can cuss that dog, you can beat that dog, you can starve that dog, you can kick that dog, but in a year of tying him to that telephone pole, when you let him go, the bunny rabbit or the raccoon is going to run across the yard, and his nature is to chase that, his nature is to get that, and that's how we're born. We inherited a nature called sin, and you can't incarcerate it out of someone's life, you can't medicate it out of someone's life. We need Jesus, and that's what Life Talk Radio is all about, connecting people to Christ.
Amen. And Christmas Behind Bars, in fact, I encourage you to go to the website. You can go right now, christmasbehindbars.org. is such a great ministry because of the passion behind the founder, which is you. And so explain a little bit how it has grown from that classroom in, that you started it in the local church to where it is today.
After the night I got out of the hospital, that was a Friday night, we began going to church on Sabbath morning. And here about 6 months later, it was the pastor's wife's idea to make some packages for the folk down at the local county jail. It was never my idea, but I remembered my time of incarceration facing 10 to 20 years in prison, a bond of $110,000. My desire was to reach out to 13-year-old people and let them know that those aren't the right ways that they want to go. And so at that point in my life, I wanted to encourage others, even though I was on the way to the penitentiary. So this was not my idea. It was the pastor that came to visit me in the hospital. It was his wife's idea to make packages. And I said, that would be a great idea, but let's back up to about 3 months clean. 90 days clean, I was making meetings and I was trying and I was clean. I was hurting and I was aching and I was tired and I was wore out. And I said, I got stronger and I prayed. I said, Lord, I need a job. Lord didn't just send someone knocking on my door. The Lord helps us to get a newspaper and start looking for ads. And I started looking for jobs. The jobs that I went to see were filled. But God worked out something miraculous to where one of the people that I had robbed, one of the reasons I went to prison, this man had a grocery business. And I went to his place to buy some bent and dent and damaged goods because we were poor. And through all that, I began selling groceries door-to-door to the Amish people. And so now I'm self-employed, making money, and the beauty of the gospel is you don't have to worry about who you sell a 50-pound bag of potatoes to as long as you didn't steal them potatoes. So now I'm selling potatoes, apples, oranges, strawberries, cookies, snacks, chips, candy bars, pretzels. And so when the pastor's wife had that idea of making the first 350 packages, I already had product that had been paid for, was in the van, it was profit. And so every year it's continued to grow out of that from one jail to two jail to five to 10 to 15 to 20. And 6 years later, after making packages for people in county jails, my mindset is Christmas is the loneliest time of one's incarceration. Birthdays can come and go, anniversaries, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, but somehow there's something special about Christmas. And I didn't have no special Christmases. I remember getting a few gifts and then I'd get beat because I made too much noise with the wrapping paper. So I never really had a special Christmas, but yet something about the Christmas season, there was something special about that. So we always tried to finish the program by Christmas Day. Some days we'd do two jails or three jails on Christmas Day to finalize the project, the program for the year, Christmas Behind Bars. But what happened is it started then growing, and so it would back up. It would be November and December. Then it was October, November, and December. Then it was just so, and now it's an all-year ministry. But 6 years into making these packages for people in the county jails, I had the opportunity, I had the privilege of making 2,000 huge packages for the men that are still in the prison where I was incarcerated as a young man, and they didn't, a lot of them, have an opportunity to go home. And I was able to walk those halls and let those people know that they're not forgotten and Christ loves them.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And I just have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.